The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you. My buddy Tom Fairbanks, engineering and producing the show on the other side of the glass. Tom, that super moon last night was unbelievable.
Oh, is that what we're experiencing? It's a super moon.
Yeah, I got up kind of in the middle of the night like people do for when nature calls, right?
Yeah, the kind of moon you can read a newspaper by.
There you go. And I'm thinking, whoa, wow, a lot of light coming in that through that shutter. Opened the shutter up and it was almost like daylight.
Well, we should be able to experience it again tonight and perhaps tomorrow night as well.
Yeah, and we'll ask Dr. Levy about that coming up at 12:30. David Levy will be with us. How are you, everybody? It's Thursday, May 7th, 2020. It's Buckmaster practicing safe distancing. I'm seated here alone in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio. Tom is probably about 20 yards away, but there's a wall and really thick glass separating us. So, yeah, that's the way that works. 10:30, Tucson's voice for trusted news talk. Worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com. And, of course, we piggyback with kvoi.com to give you the live stream. All the podcasts available 24/7 at buckmastershow.com. Any comments or questions for Pima County Supervisor Steve Christie, the number to call, 790-2040. Let's go now on the live line to Mr. Christie, Republican representing the 4th District, Pima County Supervisorial District. Steve Christie, how are you?
I'm doing great, Bill. It's always great to be on your show and hear your voice.
Well, thank you very much.
I wish I was there in person.
Hopefully we're going to make that happen, Steve, for your regular visit, and we're going to get you on this regular schedule, pretty much looking like the first Thursday of the month. And so hopefully by that first Thursday of June, we'll have you in studio. Were you at this Road to Recovery meeting this morning?
No, I was not. There's been several of them, but they're basically limited because of physical distancing that's in place, and it's either telephonically available or sometimes by Zoom. There's, as you know, a number of task force and subcommittees almost in constant motion right now at all hours of every day during the week. So this particular one I was not on, no.
Just our economy, Steve's been decimated.
It has been, and it hits home. In my own family, I have three grown daughters. One just lost her job. The other daughter is taking a drastic price reduction or a salary reduction, and has had to lay off several of the people she supervises, and we're just one family out of 25 or 30 million across the country and hundreds of thousands in the state of Arizona and tens of thousands in Pima County that are going through this just horrific time that really, in many ways, I question, do we really need to be going through this? Should we have been going through this? And should we not be looking at ways, and maybe we are at this particular point, but maybe sooner than we are now, maybe we should have been looking at ways to open up our economy back. And I hope that we're able to do it in a timely fashion and in a very efficient fashion, because I really believe, and I've heard numbers as well, that one out of four businesses prior to the pandemic in Pima County will not be reopening. And that's devastating. Pima County was on shaky ground to begin with in many respects, economically and business development wise, and then to have this sucker punch come in and the what I thought were very aggressive ways of inhibiting, prohibiting, and virtually shutting down businesses that were enacted, I question a lot of that activity. And now more than ever, we need to explore, identify, and find ways to reopen businesses, get people back to work, and open up Pima County's economy.
Well, supposedly retail is cranked up, gets cranked up tomorrow. Restaurants will have limited in restaurant dining on Monday. So this is the governor's order. It supersedes whatever the mayor of Tucson or Pima County government does. Steve Christie, that's the way it's going to work, right?
Well, that's the idea. Unfortunately, I think there have been instances in our very recent past where some elected officials, both at the county and the city level, would make statements that urged caution about relaxing the governor's potential executive orders. And this goes back several weeks that regarded restrictions that would result in opening up our economy. And that was very concerning to me that not everybody at all levels was on board of reopening our economy. And certainly the governor is working towards that end. But I'm very optimistic that what he's trying to do will result in opening up our economy. And I'm hoping as well that jurisdictions in Pima County will go along with opening them up rather than trying to urge him to keep restrictions in place in certain areas.
Well, then there's going to be it's already happening all over social media, what we call social media shaming. These are the neighbors reporting neighbors and going on and on about, well, that business shouldn't be opening, and this one is doing this. And there's a lot of that going around, Steve Christie. But meanwhile, you come from a business background. What are your auto dealership friends telling you? What are the what are the April numbers looking like?
They're not looking good at all. A matter of fact, they are predicting not only in Pima County but across the country to have worse sales record record sales fall offs going back to prior to the Great Recession of 2008. So this is very devastating to the automobile industry. On the other hand, I got to say, if you're in the market for an automobile or a truck, now is the best time to buy because of the stress that is being put on by the manufacturers and the dealerships to move their inventory. And they are, if you've been paying any attention to some of the advertisements that car dealers are putting out there, there are huge discounts, low interest rates, longer terms, an abeyance of payments. Auto dealers really at this particular point are very, very aggressive in wanting to move their inventory, get that iron off the lot. And I would encourage anybody who's in the market for any kind of a vehicle, new or used, to visit their new car dealers and take advantage of the situation, because those numbers are drastic. And when you look at market share of manufacturers coast to coast, manufacturers will spend millions and millions for a quarter of a percent of a market share. So you can imagine how competitive it is out there. And in Tucson, fortunately, we've got great new car dealers that are very involved in their community. They're the first ones people go to when they want to have a little league sponsor, or when they want a donation or a raffle or a charity. And of course, we all know about the great work that Jim Click has done over the years with raffles and things of this nature. So now we've been talking about supporting businesses in Tucson. Now is the time to support your local new car dealer and take advantage of the situation that they're going through, which is they need to move their inventory, and they'll do pretty much anything they can to do it.
Well, I have a friend who bought a vehicle a couple of weeks ago, and the friend told me the dealer would pretty much do anything to move the car out off the lot. The issue is they've got too much inventory, Steve Christie, that is sitting there costing them money.
Exactly. And they're in the business, it's called a floor line, FLOOR. A floor line, which is basically an inventory line of credit that dealerships take out with lending institutions. It's usually within their own manufacturer, but sometimes they're from commercial banks as well that allow the dealer to carry his inventory on this credit line. And when the car is sold, they pay the banking institution off for the amount of the purchase of the car. They have to pay it back to the bank. But in the meantime, when cars aren't moving and dealers don't have an opportunity to pay off those cars that aren't being sold, the interest really adds up and very, very quickly. And when you're talking of tens of millions of dollars of inventory on these lines, it is extraordinarily expensive. It's probably the most expensive expense that a dealership has is that credit line. And the most effective way for a dealer to reduce the cost, of course, is to move the inventory and get it off that credit line and pay it down. And when they're not being sold and when they're not moving and cars aren't being paid down and off that credit line, that interest accumulates very, very quickly, and it's huge.
I bet it is. Steve Christie, stick around. I want to tell our listeners right now about one of our fine Pima County eateries. Mona's Danish Bakery is in Pima County, and they are anxiously awaiting, like all of our local restaurants, when folks can come in. There'll be limited in-bakery dining, beginning on Monday at Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle. They're open right now. If you're anywhere near the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise, owner and chief baker Steve has really, really done a beautiful job navigating through these very difficult pandemic times, moving inventory. In his case, it's moving bakery goods. That's his inventory, an inventory that my wife purchased some of the most beautiful Tom Fairbanks. They were beautiful, giant blueberry muffins.
Giant blueberry muffins.
And Ann came home with some of them this morning. And I'm kind of strange when it comes to with muffins. And maybe I'm not alone, but I've heard others do this. I like the tops, the top of the muffin.
A little more crusty?
There you go. There you go. And oh, you talk about good eating. Nobody makes a blueberry muffin or any kind of his banana muffins. I know he's the home of the Danish Kringle. That's the signature. But for me, I love the muffins. And throw in some of those macaroons. I can't wait. I think there's one waiting for me for my lunch today, for my dessert at lunch. Mona'sDanishBakery.com is the website. I could go on and on about Mona's, but I do want to get back to Steve Christie here in a moment after we take our first break. So check it out, Mona'sDanishBakery.com or BuckmasterShow.com, a link to Mona's and all of our great partners who you're going to hear from right now.
During the coronavirus crisis, Vero Amore restaurants in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowland Swan and Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana are still open for takeout and home delivery. You can still enjoy all your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza. They're all available for takeout and home delivery. More at VeroAmorePizza.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster encouraging you to fly from Tucson International Airport. When you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. A new study shows the Tucson Airport Authority's annual economic impact is $7.4 billion, with almost $1 billion of that from visitors flying into the airport. Fly Tucson, and airlines will respond with more flights, bringing more visitors, benefiting all of us. Type in TUS when you book your next flight and fly Tucson.
It's easy being green. Promote wind, install solar, drive electric cars, ban mining. Wait a minute! You can't ban mining! Green is good, but hey, no can do without the metals green products need from mining. If you ban mining, you'll ban everything green. And today's minds are on board, researching technologies that provide critical materials for a greener world. Being Green, another miracle from mining. Brought to you by the Southern Arizona Business Coalition.
The Regional Transportation Authority and its member jurisdictions have completed more than 850 transportation projects or service improvements across the region to date. The RTA is a state-established political subdivision and taxing district. The RTA's current half-cent sales tax funds the 20-year plan through June 2026. And the RTA is laying the foundation to develop a new plan. To learn more, please visit www.rtanext.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
During the coronavirus crisis, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is open for one-on-one appointments only by calling 795-8226 to arrange a time with Moe or Corinne. No interruptions and no other customers. Moe will even arrange a drop-off at the store's front door and coordinate a virtual design session. Moe's Gallery, Fort Lowell and Dodge, 795-8226 and moesgallery.com.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year, and if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Thing Zocalo Village Studios. I don't know about you, but I love to travel, as you can hear in my ads that I run for the Tucson Airport. And I like to travel even by car. And I'm thinking of the bucket list in my mind all the time. Where do I want to go when things are settling down, already making plans? Hey, how about Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico for your a little getaway road trip when you feel it is safe to make the three-hour drive over to that part of the land of enchantment. And it's a beautiful area. You could go over, you could drive over there and go to the Gila National Wilderness and go hiking, and you probably wouldn't run into another person the whole day. So social distancing is something that you can really have. It's a great place to go for your social distancing. Go to southwestnewmexico.org for the listing of places to stay and recreation opportunities. Steve Christie is with us, Republican District 4, Pima County Board of Supervisors. We've got to bring tourism back, Steve Christie. And all the good news is, from what I'm hearing, bookings for June, airline bookings starting to ramp up. July and August looking much better. Of course, the devastation was the month of April. Those are historic low numbers for airlines. But Steve, we've got to return tourism to Tucson, Arizona.
Absolutely. And very quickly, just before we move off the topic, I just want to add one more thing. We were talking about the car business in Tucson. We talk about at-risk communities. Well, certainly the car dealers are not in that same category of being at risk, but you have been a great proponent, as have many people, of buying locally. Yep. And I would encourage everybody to consider buying locally now, more sooner rather than later, a new or used car from a new car dealer. They generate hundreds of millions of dollars of tax revenue for our community. They employ thousands of people. They have an investment in this community that goes back, in some cases, three and four generations. It is imperative that if you're going to be in the market for a car, that you look at your local new car dealer. They're part of this community. As I said earlier, people rely on them for so many of their foundational elements, like little league teams or raffle tickets or a table at some function. So it's now's the time, if you're going to buy a car, which you should, because this is a good time to buy a car, that you do it locally. As for the tourism, yes, that of course is a cornerstone of Pima County's economy. Fortunately, we did get through the very good parts of tourism attractions, the gem show, the rodeo, the golf tournament. We were able to take advantage of those without the pandemic getting in the way. But at this particular time, when the pandemic hit, was also when we're in the peak season of spring training, schools being let out for spring vacation. I happen to go to the school in the east for college, and I couldn't wait to come back home to Tucson. And I know thousands of other people other students along the east coast and the eastern seaboard would come and flock to Arizona and to Pima County during spring break. And we missed all of that. So the areas that we really would shine in and take advantage of fully at the latter half of the peak season kind of fell off into the abyss. And I'm glad and encouraged to hear that the bookings are coming back again. But certainly tourism is a key foundation of our economy, and we need to do everything to support it, encourage it, and get the word out that Tucson and Pima County is the place to come as a destination.
I was one of those kids in high school. My junior year, a group of us came out from the Chicago area. We had some friends at the University of Arizona, some older boys, and we went out here. This is the first time I'd ever been out here, and I won't even give the year, but it was a long time ago. And that's kind of how I kind of wound up at the University of Arizona. A couple of years later was my introduction spring break to Tucson, Arizona. That happens a lot with people, Steve Christie. They fall in love with the area.
It does, and of course, I went to college on the East Coast a few years ago, and I still keep in touch with many of my classmates, and they all remember coming out and visiting me and staying with me during spring break. And the stories that they love to talk about is going up to Mount Lemmon in the morning skiing.
Oh yeah,
and then coming down at noon and sitting around the pool and getting a sunburn in the afternoon in Tucson.
We did that. I'll tell you, we did that. I can remember doing that in the spring. I'm not a skier, but we went up there and played around the snow, and then we went out in the afternoon, sat around the pool.
And speaking of Mount Lemmon, my office was able to get a trash dumpster up there next to the community centers because folks in Pima County use Mount Lemmon and Summer Haven as their summer playground, and with the temperatures going the way they are, it's a great place to recreate over the weekend. But everybody must do it responsibly and with a great deal of courtesy to the residents that live up there. And part of the problem they always had was the trash disposal, and my office was able to at least make an attempt to help that situation. But the restaurants up there, the sawmill, the general store, the cookie store up there, are all available for food takeout. It's cool, even though that some of the campsites and the barbecue areas are closed down now because of the not only for the pandemic but also for stage 2 fire protection. It's a wonderful place to get away on a weekend travel up there, and it's cool, and they're open for business, and I encourage folks who want to escape the heat to responsibly go up there and be gentle with the environment and make sure you pick up after yourself. But what a great way to get away from the heat. And another neat thing that's happening out in my district, the south of the fairgrounds at Tucson Raceway, is they're holding drive-in movies at the racetrack. You drive in.
What the?
And they're gonna set up a big projector. I guess this weekend's movie is Days of Thunder.
Oh yeah.
And it's a bit obviously apropos to the raceway, but you know, we're kind of going back into my childhood of going into the drive-in movies in the evenings when it's cool in the summertime, and then heading up to Mount Lemmon on the weekends when it's just as cool and beautiful up there. So there are some silver linings and some good news and some recreation things to do while we're struggling with this virus as well as the heat.
I remember those drive-in days. They'd take a break during the either before the feature or in the middle of the feature. They'd kind of have a break. Time to head for the snack shack.
Oh, yeah. And we'd all go in our pajamas and our bathrobes, and my dad would back up his Rambler wagon to the towards the screen, and we'd open up the tailgate and watch out. Those are great times, and there's an opportunity to do that again this weekend out at Tucson Raceway Park.
All right, Steve Christie, I'm out of time. I didn't get into all the budget issues, but they'll be there for another day for us to talk about. They aren't going to go away in Pima County. Big budget problems. Yep.
Oh, we've got some challenges there, and I'm looking forward to talking to you at depth with them the next time you're nice enough to have me on.
Well, we'll have you on. I'm trying to get you on now, and I think we've worked it out probably the first Thursday of the month. Steve Christie, thank you very much.
Bill, one last thing. I don't know if I've told you this before or not, but I just want to make sure that you know that I love being your supervisor.
Oh, yes. Well, thank you very much. I know you love being a supervisor. Steve Christie, thank you.
Thank you, Bill.
All right, Steve Christie, Pima County Supervisor, District Number 4. All right, Dr. David Levy is coming up. I want to ask him a little bit about the supermoon and other things. That's coming up right after we take a CBS network break. Then we hear from the Buckmaster Show sponsors. Please support them during these hard times. Be right back.
Here at Bon Voyage Travel, we encourage you to keep the travel spark alive by exploring the world through our weekly webinar series that includes inspiration and insight from some of the top leaders in the travel industry. When you're ready to plan your next adventure, know that Bon Voyage Travel will be here to advise and assist. Join us every Wednesday at 3 p.m. for a new virtual destination discovery. While we're apart, let's keep dreaming together. Visit bvtravel.com for more information.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
If it can't be grown, then it must be mined. Cause without minerals, you never find your phones, your cars, your solar panels, or your smart TVs with your favorite channels. Hospitals, schools, and public facilities result from mining's vast abilities. Dividends, taxes, and high-paid employment come from mining for your enjoyment. Brought to you by the Southern Arizona Business Coalition.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Green Things is your headquarters for everything green. And a 13-acre site, all these amazing plants, trees, annuals, and more, plus all the great Talavera pottery over at Zocalo. So they got you covered. Everybody's doing gardening these days. And a lot of people want to kind of get in. Maybe they've never gotten into it before, but with the shutdown, the quarantine, people have decided, well, I'm going to be home. Why not make the garden look really good? And Green Things can get you going in that direction. GreenThingsAZ.com or ZocaloVillage.com are the websites. Let's go now to Vail, Arizona. Dr. David Levy, the Buckmaster Show contributor on science. I could spend the whole 10-minute segment with David just reading his incredible biography, but I'll try to telescope it for you. The former science editor of Parade magazine, now head of and founder of the Sharing the Sky science education organization. David is one of the most successful comet discoverers in history. I mean, how many people do you know who've discovered 23 comets, including his co-discovery of Shoemaker 9 Levy? That's the comet that collided with Jupiter in 1994, producing the most spectacular explosions ever witnessed in the solar system. How are you, Dr. Levy?
Oh, I'm fine. I'm doing fine. And are you at the studio or are you at home?
No,
right now?
I've been coming in every day. This is a very small operation. Normally we have a lot of people here, but right now in these COVID-19 days, there's just a couple of us here. I'm alone, seated here in the studio, all alone. Tom Fairbanks on the other side of the glass is sequestered in the control room. So we're practicing safe distancing.
Well, that's good. And I just talked with him a couple of times. So
We're
all set.
Yep, we're all set. Now, what about the super moon? Apparently, this is the fourth.
It is the fourth. But you know what? It's... it's kind of really not much, because unless you're really looking, you really don't notice whether it's any bigger than a normal full moon. A supermoon just takes place when the full moon happens to be when the moon is at its perigee, which is closest to the Earth, which makes it a little bigger and a little brighter than usual.
Okay.
And so this is the last one we're going to have this year. Yeah, but we'll have a couple next year.
So it's not really that big a deal.
It's not what's big a deal, no, not really.
Let's talk a little bit about the Lyrid meteor shower. It's been very influential in your professional life, hasn't it, David Levy?
Yeah, it has been. It started in 1963. I was a patient at the Jewish National Home for Asthmatic Children, and I went outside in April of 1963, around April the 21st, to look for Lyrid meteors, and I saw one big fireball, and then a big fat cloud came by, and I didn't see any more. Went out the next night, and that big fat cloud was still there, and I didn't see any. And I remember writing that it was the most disappointing failure I've ever had in my life. Now, Bill, I've had a lot more finer failures, some real fine ones since then.
I didn't realize you grew up as an asthmatic.
Oh, yeah, I was an asthmatic, which means right now I am really at high risk to get the COVID-19, so I'm taking this shutdown very, very seriously.
Do you?
I hope all of you are.
Do you go out at all?
Oh, sometimes, but I won't go out of the house without wearing the mask, or at least I won't go into where people are without wearing my mask.
Yeah, well, you are at a very high risk, so please.
Well, high risk.
Yeah. Well, take it easy.
The
David Levy quote of the month, is it connected to that meteor shower we were talking about?
Yeah, I'm going to connect it right now because there's more to the story, Bill.
Okay.
In 1976, April 76, the Montreal Center of the Royal Astronomical Society organized a meteor watch, and we went out to look at Lyras, and it was a clear night again. And I was at the time engaged to what I would call my practice wife, a marriage that only lasted a couple of years, long before I met Wendy. And we're all sitting outside the observatory watching meteors, and I'm seeing a few go by, and my mind started to wander. I wonder how many other amateur astronomers in ages past have seen these meteors in April. And then my mind wandered even more. I wonder how many poets have seen these. And suddenly the idea came to me to relate English poetry, which I was about to go into as a graduate student, with astronomy. The very next day, I visited Norman Mackenzie at Queen's University. He introduced me to Gerard Manley Hopkins, which brings us to the poem I'm going to quote today. I am like a slip of comet, scarce worth discovery, in some corner seen bridging the slender difference of two stars. But when she sights the sun, she grows and sizes and spins her skirts out, while her central star shakes its cocooning mists. And so she comes to fields of light. Millions of traveling rays pierce her. She hangs upon the flame-cased sun and sucks the light as full as Gideon's fleece. But then her tether calls her. She falls off. And as she dwindles, sheds her smock of gold amidst the sistering planets and then goes out into the cavernous dark. So I go out. My little suite is done. I have drawn heat from this contagious sun to not ungentle death. Now forth I run.
Very nice, David.
Thank you.
A lot of people don't realize that your doctorate degree, your doctorate, your study was literature and the night sky and astronomy. It's very interesting. It's
thesis,
an unusual field, to say the least.
Thesis was the night sky. My doctoral thesis was the night sky in the time of Shakespeare.
Yeah.
My MA thesis was on Hopkins.
Well, the bell is tolling in the background. That means we are just about out of time. So my love to Wendy, your lovely wife.
Thank you.
And I hope you two stay safe, okay, David Levy?
Yeah, you too, and you stay safe too, Bill.
All right, and I think we have your appointment all set for the early in June already.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay, great.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks for calling.
Okay, David Levy with us for his monthly visit. Boy, so much to talk about. With the Buckmaster legal contributor Don Luce, if you're wondering what about liability and all this with the reopenings, Don's going to try to plow into that topic. He's on the live line. He's next. He'll hold through the break, and then we'll talk with him in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio. Stay with us.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
During this coronavirus crisis, Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, is still open for takeout and home delivery only. You can get all of your favorite Noble Hops menu offerings. Come pick them up, or they'll bring them to you. So check out Noble Hops on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and online at noblehopspub.com.
Buckmaster Show listeners know about my love of travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. I know you value your time and money, so it makes sense to fly Tucson with nearly 60 daily nonstop flights to major hub airports. If you're flying to another airport to take a nonstop flight, you're still making a connection and spending 4 hours on the road traveling to that other airport. That's why I fly Tucson and encourage you to do the same.
The current Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. In preparation for developing a new 20-year plan, the RTA Board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to identify priority projects based on public input. RTA member jurisdictions will submit their respective project lists by June 2020 for the CAC to consider for a future plan. To learn more, visit www.rtanext.com.
Let's say you need an honest roofer. Where do you start? Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona has more than 3,200 accredited businesses ready to help and committed to doing things right. Next time you need a trusted mechanic, plumber, AC company, or florist, go to our website, bbb.org, or call us at 520-888-6161. Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona. We are here to help you find local companies you can trust.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Don Luce with us on the live line. Don Luce, attorney Don Luce, is our Buckmaster Show contributor on the lawn. It's always a pleasure to welcome him to the program. He is, of course, the principal of Luce Law Group with offices in Tucson and Phoenix. Mr. Luce is the author of two very popular books, Arizona Laws 101, A Handbook for Non-Lawyers, and Estate Planning in Arizona, What You Need to Know. Both books are in their second printing. Don, joining us now on the live line as we continue to do our program entirely telephonically. Hello, Don. How are you?
Hi, Bill. I'm fine. How are you?
Doing real well. Don, we have states continuing, including Arizona, announcing plans to reopen. Retail businesses in Arizona can do the reopen tomorrow, then restaurants coming on board with limited in-restaurant dining. All of this, employers are facing a number of operational and employment issues that could lead to legal exposure if not handled properly. This is a huge topic, and I want to delve into it in our 10 minutes or so together. Where do we begin, Don?
Well, let's start with the assumption that employers are going to do whatever they can do to make their workplace safe and to follow the guidelines that are being promulgated both at the federal level, but also at the state level. And there are myriad guidelines and recommendations that are being made almost on a daily basis. So that's really where it gets sticky. It's really hard to follow what best practices are going to look like. And then, of course, if you don't follow best practices, despite your best efforts, you run the risk that an employee and or a patron and or both are going to get sick. And then, to your point, that's where the liability may lie.
There's been talk that the governor, could he buy a proclamation or something, do some kind of that would free these businesses and restaurants from liability issues. How would all of this work? I'm very confused.
All right. So on a state level, the governor, through the Arizona Department of Health, has actually issued guidance for retail stores and centers that are opening on a limited basis starting this week. So, You have the state guidelines to contend with. You need to know what those guidelines are if you're reopening your business. The Department of Health Services has published the guidelines. You can go online and read them. I have read them, and quite honestly, they're pretty common sense guidelines. Like, if you're sick, stay home. If you can maintain social distancing within your place of business, do it. Stay at least 6 feet away from others while shopping and in line. So these are all of the things that we've been hearing for the last several weeks in terms of best practices for retailers reopening their businesses. Now, the state does have the ability on a limited basis to protect employers from liability suits to the extent that, let's say, a patron becomes sick after visiting your business because, despite your best efforts, you weren't able to prevent the transmission of the virus. Nothing like that has yet occurred. And quite frankly, I'm not sure how something like that would look, because if you gave a safe harbor to businesses who were responsible for in essentially allowing patrons to get sick by visiting their premises, then maybe what you're doing is you're providing a disincentive for business owners to provide the safest environments possible.
Right.
Also, under the preemption doctrine, which you and I have discussed on numerous occasions, the federal government supersedes any state law that is inconsistent. And so you may have a preemption issue if the state were to provide safe harbors to various groups that might be inconsistent with the federal guidelines. And as we know, the federal guidelines are coming out of the CDC, and they're pretty clear. And the Arizona Department of Health Service guidelines are pretty much patterned after the CDC guidelines. So it looks to me to be pretty much a federal unified system that we have in place now. The states have latitude, have flexibility, because we are under a federalist governance. So the states are independent of the federal government. But nonetheless, something like this is so interconnected on a nationwide level that I'm not sure a state providing a safe harbor to a business is going to be able to do that. That's my take on it.
What about, I see Ohio has required that employees, with limited exceptions here, wear protective face coverings. Did you see anything about that as you've been researching this concerning the state of Arizona?
To be honest, I wouldn't be surprised if there was that requirement. But again, that would be the Arizona Department of Health Service guidelines that are published online. And any business owner that is reopening their business needs to review those protocols and make sure that they follow them. But the simple answer to your question is, I don't know.
Then, of course, you know that there are certain things that every state now, because of the CDC, is saying, and it really starts with thorough hand washing and cough etiquette, correct?
It does. Yeah. And I noticed with great interest that the Department of Occupational Safety and Health has just recently issued recommendations for businesses and employees. Now, for your listeners, the Occupational Safety and Health Act requires that every employer maintain a safe and healthful workplace. Okay, so that is a requirement that employers have under OSHA, a safe and healthful workplace. Now, the recommendations which OSHA has issued go to exactly that, and just some of them. I won't go through all of them, but again, actively encourage employees to stay home if they are sick. Discourage workers from sharing phones, desks, and other equipment when possible. Reconfigure physical workspaces to provide physical barriers between workspaces if possible. Alternate days or staggered hours for employees in a given facility if possible, and so forth. So what we're seeing is that the agency responsible for workplace safety and health has been very proactive in jumping in and saying, look, we recognize the businesses are reopening across the country, but here's what we're recommending that employers do to ensure a safe and healthful workplace. Now, the question is, what if an employer, and I think this is a really interesting legal question, what if an employer fails to follow one or more of the recommendations? Let's say that an employer has the ability to separate its employees because of the configuration of the facility, but fails to do that, either inadvertently or intentionally. and somebody gets sick or dies. Then what is the liability on the part of the employer for not following that recommendation? Or what if a patron visiting those premises becomes sick or dies? What is the liability of the business owner at that juncture for the patron's illness or death? Those are very real questions. And quite frankly, none of those questions have been yet resolved because of the newness of this coronavirus pandemic. You know, in legal terms, anything that happens in weeks or months is accelerated, expedited, and quick. Anything that happens in months or years is pretty much standard operating procedure. So yes. we haven't seen the legal fallout from reopening businesses from an employer liability perspective. But I would suggest to you that there are lawsuits that have already been filed, and there are a multitude of additional lawsuits that I expect will be filed against employers and business owners arising out of the transmission of the virus and the conduct of their business.
Well, this is a very interesting question. If someone were to get sick or even die, God forbid, wouldn't it be very difficult to prove that was contracted at a particular business? And of course, this will all be sorted out as the legal system catches up with the pandemic. So your thoughts, please.
Under traditional notions of premises liability, which is a common law doctrine that's been around for a long, long time, a person visiting a business premise has the right to expect that the business owner is going to use reasonable care to protect the customers against these types of hazards, right? If the patron gets sick or dies, he or she or his or her estate can then bring an action potentially against the business owner whose premises were unsafe because that business owner failed to exercise reasonable care. It's always the claimant's responsibility to establish that fact. They have the burden of proof. They have to show that the business owner failed to use reasonable care. Now, from an employee's perspective, most times that's going to look like a workers' compensation claim. You know, employers mm-hmm. are required generally to provide workers' compensation coverage for their employees. And if the coronavirus was contracted within the scope and course of that person's employment, then he or she might be able to file a workers' compensation claim to receive compensation for the period of time that they were out sick or were unable to work.
All right, Don Luce, so many questions, and we'll be talking a lot about this in the future, I'm sure. Don, thank you very much. Stay safe.
Thanks, Bill. You too.
Don Luce with us of Luce Law Group and offices in Tucson and Phoenix. Don is the author of two very popular books, Arizona Laws 101, A Handbook for Non-Lawyers, and Estate Planning in Arizona, What You Need to Know. Both books are in their second printing. It's just a fascinating topic, and it's going to evolve like everything else with this pandemic. We'll kind of learn a lot as we go along, certainly in the legal field concerning the pandemic. That's going to do it for the Buckmaster Show. On behalf of Tom Fairbanks, engineering and producing the program, Dave Ramsey's show talking about money and how to save it, maybe make some money and not do something foolish, as Dave likes to say. That's next on KVOI. Have a great afternoon, everybody.